Well, as I said before, welcome to the last Sunday of 2023. I did forget to say something during the announcements, and I really, really appreciate. There's a whole bunch of people that sort of made the Christmas season work for us and put in lots of hours, and I really appreciate it. And of course, this week, all of this will come down and it'll feel like an empty shell. Once again, but that's the nature of the transition back to non-Christmas, so just a big thank you from the leadership team, myself. We really appreciate it. I started this series with this sort of question. I guess it's a question I'm asking you as well. Have you ever wondered what Jesus might say to us if he were here today with us on this last day of 2023? Like, if he was here, like, would he give us some areas to work on, you know, New Year's resolutions or such? What would he say, or how would he deal with sort of the climate of our world? Like, how would he handle the politics? What might he say to us to manage broken relationships? What would he say about social media and all that kind of stuff? You know, there's just so many issues that I'm sure that we just love for him to weigh in on. And thankfully, the Bible is relevant to all people at all times, because the Bible is the source of truth, and many of Jesus' own words are immortalized for us in the pages of the New Testament. And in his own words, we find comfort and guidance and strength for any and every situation that we might encounter. And that's why I'm so excited about this new sermon series, I Am Jesus, to sort of end 2023 and then to usher in 2024. You know, and each week for the next, I think, 7 weeks, we're going to look at one of the descriptions that Jesus speaks of himself from the Gospel of John. And through those descriptions of himself, what he does is he actually reveals his true nature to us. And when we understand his nature, we can begin to understand who Jesus is, and we can further understand how he is working not only in our lives but in our world as well. You know, as in speaking of our world, it is one filled with unsatisfied and I think very hungry people, because there is a common denominator. Regardless of race and ethnicity and all that kind of stuff, is that people long for connection. They long for understanding. They long for love and compassion and so much more. C.S. Lewis, he puts it really, I think, quite beautifully when he said, "If I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world." You know, what would Jesus say to people who are both spiritually and physically hungry? Well, I'm going to guess it's going to be in the words that he's going to share with us in a few moments. And so, you know, we need to begin and just and pray and ask God to open our hearts and minds to his word as we begin this new, really, year. That he would help us actually navigate the illusions and the distractions that we can find ourselves so easily entangled. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you that, as we've said, Jesus himself called himself the bread of life, and help us to understand what that means. Help us to understand that our true sustenance is in Jesus, because he is the bread of life. We ask that you would open our heart to your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's what John, the disciple of Jesus, writes. And he's writing Jesus' very words. It says, "Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.'" Wow, you know, this bread of life, it's a powerful metaphor that Jesus uses to describe himself and his role in our spiritual sustenance. You know, just as physical bread nourishes and sustains our body, Jesus, the bread of life, he nourishes and sustains our souls. And this metaphor is not just about physical hunger and thirst, but it speaks to the deeper spiritual hunger and thirst that exists in every human being. You know, in the ancient world, you know, bread was a staple food. It was basic. It was necessary for survival. It was the primary source of nourishment and was often used symbolically to represent life itself. And so when Jesus declares, "I am the bread of life," he is saying that he is essential to our spiritual life. Without him, our souls starve and they wither, just as our bodies would without physical food. You know, we all of us here would know what that feeling of hunger and the satisfaction that comes from having a really good meal. You know, we most likely, all of us, experience that at Christmas time, you know. But Jesus is not just talking about a temporary satisfaction that comes from a turkey dinner or a nice big slice of raspberry pie, which I haven't had yet, but it's coming. Sorry, me. pumpkin pie, then. We had lots of that, and it was all good. It was all good. But Jesus is talking about is a deep, I'm in trouble. I just sort of sense that. What Jesus is talking about is a deep, lasting satisfaction that only he can provide. You know, when we come to him, when we believe in him, he says that we will never hunger or thirst again. And this is a promise of a spiritual fulfillment. And it's something that our world cannot offer. It's a promise for us of ultimate fulfillment. You know, we've talked about this a lot, and I don't like repeating it, but it's important because sometimes we're just sort of head blind to this. You know, the fact that the world offers so many things that promise to satisfy our hunger and thirst. You know, wealth, success, power, pleasure. These are things that the world tells us will make us happy. But as, you know, many of us have experienced that these things actually leave us feeling very empty and unsatisfied. They're like junk food or like butter tarts at Christmas, you know. They really taste good for the moment, but they leave us again hungry very, very shortly after. In contrast to this, Jesus offers us himself the bread of life. You know, just as physical bread gives us the energy and the strength that we need to live, so Jesus gives us the spiritual nourishment that we need to live a life of faith. He feeds our soul with his word, his love, his grace, his presence, and he strengthens us in our weaknesses. He comforts us in our sorrows. He guides us in our confusion because he is the source of our spiritual life, the one who sustains us in our journey of faith. You know, that's why I felt like this was such a great beginning or great ending to the new year and a beginning to the new one before us. You know, when Jesus says that he is the bread of life, we must know that this is just not a metaphor, but it is reality that we can experience in our daily lives. When we come to Jesus and we believe in him, we experience his life-giving presence in our lives. We taste that he is indeed good, and we find a deep satisfaction that the world cannot offer us. Unlike Jesus, you know, the things of the world make promises to us that simply don't come true. They're false promises that are very pervasive, and they're very alluring. They come in many forms, and they can be found in the pursuit of wealth and pursuit of power, the pursuit of fame, the pursuit of pleasure, and even the pursuit of knowledge and wisdom. The world tells us that if we just have enough money, if we just have enough power, if we just have enough popularity, if we just have enough pleasure, or if we just know enough of everything, that we will be truly satisfied. Do you know right now what the number one job that teenagers are hoping to have when they finish high school is right now? At least this is in the States. Do you have any idea what they might dream about? YouTuber. Yeah, like a social influencer. Isn't that crazy? Like, sorry, maybe if you're in that, and I'm sorry, I don't want to dash your dreams, but it's looking to something where they don't really have to work. They can spend their time recording themselves and putting it on the internet, and people will follow them and pay to follow them. And they just believe that will truly satisfy them. And we falsely believe that if we have enough, that we will be enough. That's how we think. And the harsh reality is that these worldly pursuits, they often leave us, you know, feeling empty and feeling disappointed. Because, you know, the pursuit of wealth very easily leads to greed and materialism. The pursuit of power can lead to corruption and tyranny. The pursuit of fame can lead to vanity and materialism. The pursuit of pleasure can lead to hedonism and addiction. And the pursuit of knowledge and wisdom can lead to arrogance and pride. And these worldly pursuits are transient, and they're fleeting. You know, wealth can be lost. Power can be overthrown. Fame, it fades. Pleasure can become dull, and knowledge and wisdom can be surpassed. And the Bible speaks to that. 1 John 2:7, it says, "The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." What he's saying is that false promises pass away, but the promises of God, they never fade. They never fade. As St. Augustine, who is a respected Christian theologian, once said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." And that quote captures the essence of our human condition. We were created by God and for God, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in him. And the world's false promises cannot satisfy our hearts because they are not aligned with our ultimate purpose, which is simply to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And so as we sort of navigate through the world's false promises, it's important that we hear the words of Jesus and what he says. This is what Jesus says in relationship to that. He says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Let us seek first his kingdom, the kingdom of God, his righteousness. Let us find our true satisfaction, fulfillment, and happiness in him alone. You know, the satisfaction of Christ is a profound and it's a life-changing truth that we find in the Gospel of John. When Jesus declares that, "I am the bread of life, whoever comes to me will never go hungry, whoever believes in me will never be thirsty," he is offering a satisfaction that simply no one else can give. The world cannot give. So and I've tried to teach you this, so when you read a statement like that, it's always really important to understand the context of the statement. and why Jesus said it. And so this statement here, it follows Jesus and him just feeding the 5,000 people with the loaves of bread and the fish, okay? Now we got to remember, the Bible says 5,000 men, right? But there's going to be women and children there too. So that number is probably about 10,000 people. They're all there. They've been following Jesus. They're hungry. And then there is this moment where this miracle happens and Jesus feeds them with the loaves and the fish. It's a miraculous sign of divine power and provision. And the people in that moment were amazed and they followed him. But they followed him not because they understood who he was, but because they wanted more of the physical bread. And what Jesus is now doing is he is pointing them to a greater reality that he himself is the bread of life. And the bread that he offers is not physical, but it's spiritual. It's not about satisfying our physical hunger or thirst, but it's about fulfilling our deepest spiritual needs. And this is a profound shift from the worldly perspective, which often equates satisfaction with physical or material fulfillment. This satisfaction that Jesus is offering that group of people, that is offering us today, is rooted in a relationship with him. It's about coming to him. It's about believing in him. It's about finding our identity and our purpose in him. And that is a satisfaction that transcends our circumstances. It transcends our feelings and even our understanding. It's a satisfaction that is grounded in his unchanging character, his unfailing love, and his eternal promises. And when we come to him, we will never go hungry or thirsty again. Now, this doesn't mean that we won't have physical needs. It doesn't mean that we won't have challenges in our lives. It doesn't mean that even we will have periods of dryness spiritually in our lives. But it means that in Christ, we have everything that we need for life and godliness. We have the assurance of his presence. We have the comfort of his love, and we have the hope of eternal life. It's amazing to think that each and every one of us can experience true contentment, that we can rest in Christ. And in contrast to the fleeting and the superficial satisfaction that the world offers, the satisfaction that Christ offers is deep, it's lasting, and it's fulfilling. It's not dependent on our performance. It's not dependent on what we have or our possessions. It's not dependent upon the approval of others. It's based solely on his grace and his work on the cross. This is one of the hardest truths to learn about life. That life is not about us. It's not about us. It's all about him. He is Jesus. He is the bread of life. You know, have you ever pondered that question in life? Have you ever wondered if it's all, if there is more to life than what we experienced? I've shared many times before, that was the beginning of my journey to Jesus. I remember sitting on my bed as a 15, 16-year-old, asking that very question, asking if there was nothing more to life than just graduating from high school, finding a girlfriend, getting married, finding a job, having a wife, kids, grandchildren, dying. I wondered that as a 15 or 16-year-old. Isn't there more to life than just that? You know, have you ever come to the end of your week and thought, wow, was that it? You know, if you've asked yourself that question, I want you to understand that you're in good company. You're in good company. And why I say that is because it is a common question that people have. And the reason that we have it, The reason that I discovered why I had that question in my life was simply this. I was not made for this world. I was not made for this world and its system of progress and production and efficiency. To quote C.S. Lewis again, if I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world. That's what I wrestled through. And that's when I discovered Jesus. Because this place that we live, it leaves us wanting. This place leaves us unsatisfied. It leaves us hungry. And if that sounds like you today, if you have been sort of trying to fill your life with the empty promises of this world and its system, then I have good news for you. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the sustenance and the provision that you have been seeking. And he says this, whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Because Jesus knows that he is the only answer. He is the only answer to your parched and weary soul. And so this morning, I want to, in this last day of 2022, I just encourage you to embrace him as Savior. And to challenge us all to join together in our pursuit and our commitment to Jesus, his commandments, to the church, to the kingdom of heaven, because he is the bread of life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your word that guides us. Father, open our eyes to see the false promises of this world, and help us, help our hearts to fully embrace the satisfaction found only in you. Guide us, teach us, and let your Holy Spirit convict us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.